Hello, and welcome to Dive Deep. We're glad you're joining us as we discuss aspects of this past week's topic that we didn't get a chance to explore during the message. Our goal is to help you deepen your relationship with God and live out your faith in ways that change the community around you. Joining me today is Pastor Arley. Welcome, Pastor Arley.
Hey, thanks, Caleb. Good to be here.
Glad to have you. So a message thanks. On unity. Man, it just seems like we can never really talk about unity enough.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with what we face at large in our political climate and just, you know.
Oh, in our pandemic climate.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? Masks, no masks.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is so divisive.
It really is.
Absolutely.
Let me ask this. We'll focus down a little bit more. But do you think that Christians really can become unified? Because there's so much division among denominations and what you believe versus I believe. Do you think it's possible?
Well, there are times when I have seen that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen churches come together for a crusade or something of that nature. And what brings them together is their one purpose. They're singly purposed. And their single goal is to be able to bring people to Jesus.
Mm.
Well, if we can keep that as our single goal, yeah, we can. But what happens is there's so many other battles that we seem to want to die for that are divisive. And so it's really hard to keep people focused with one purpose and one mind.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
You know, it's interesting that you talk about it in terms of battle. I recently read a book by Sebastian Younger, and he was, he's a journalist and has been all over the world in war-torn areas. And what he especially focuses on is the community mentality and aspect that people going through war develop and the strength of bonds and the willingness to be, you know, creative and sacrificial for the greater purpose of, in their case, survival for the most part. But if you look at it in this really spiritual context, if we could see it, I think if we could just keep the perspective that this is about spiritual survival.
And I think that's where it gets lost, like because we get lost in too many other details because maybe it's the timing, maybe it's we're spoiled, maybe we have too many choices, maybe, you know, we are too affluent, maybe all the things. Because if we were down to a point of survival, there would be a unifying factor that would be so present that we'd all draw together and work toward the same goal. Like, that's what we have to keep in mind. We have to be all working toward the same goal. If we do, then we can keep the unifying factor. You know, that's why I think a lot of times when people have too much time on their hands, they're bored.
Yeah.
They're critical. I mean, people that are busy working aren't criticizing other people as much as the people who are just standing on the sidelines saying what they should do better or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the problem starts to develop. So I think get busy, and I think you'd be less critical.
I'm curious, too, from your perspective, somebody that is kind of divided against themselves internally, are they able to come together in a spirit of unity with other people?
Well, I do think that healthy leaders create healthy churches. Healthy people create healthy marriages. I mean, I think there's a whole lot of things that are a part of that dynamic. So when you're really divided within yourself and it's kind of an unhealthy state, I do think it's a greater challenge, but it all comes back to fix your thoughts on, you know, and then when you do that, then it changes your mindset, you know, because to change your actions, you've got to change your mind. And if you don't change the mind, you're not going to change the actions. They're going to be all temporary.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what the real kind of thrust really needs to be. Like, we need to just like change our heart, change our mind, put our focus in a different direction.
Yeah, and it makes me think as you talk about, you know, healthy leaders create healthy communities, this idea, you know, if there are individuals out there that are struggling with being able to trust themselves or follow, you know, their kind of a course of action for themselves, they can lean on somebody else that's a little further down the road to help steer and guide their efforts.
Absolutely.
And I think probably most people lose sight of the fact that they are a spiritual leader to somebody out in their workplace or in their family or— I think that's important to recognize also.
Scripturally, older teach the younger. Yeah. I mean, that's mm-hmm. really a mentor relationship. I really feel that's how God designed us, you know, to lean heavily on those who, you know, might be able to give us that kind of influence or, mm-hmm. or perspective that we kind of get lost in when we're amidst everything else.
Yeah. You know, you shared a quote yesterday that was really interesting. Can you recite it again for us
today? Sure. Talking about how each of us can bring unity.
Mm-hmm.
It was by Paul Bilheimer. It said he may very well be right when he says, "The continuous and widespread fragmentation of the church has been the scandal of the ages. It has been Satan's master strategy. The sin of disunity probably has caused more souls to be lost than all other sins combined." I don't think we see the sin of disunity very clearly. I mean, we see, you know, immoral mm-hmm. kinds of choices that are a part of life, and we see that, and those are kind of black and white. But we can slip into a negative kind of sphere that can really do lasting damage when we're starting to be divisive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just very dangerous.
Well, and I think half of that is if we're perpetuating that disunity, a lot of times I don't think you have a clue about the impact you're actually having on the people that you're turning away.
No.
You're so isolated, so focused on what you're doing that you're almost unaware of how you're being received by other people.
Well, I think there is that blindness to, you know, ourselves mm-hmm. and seeing how we are impacting others. But, you know, I just think, you know, God tells us we'll be held for every idle word. Well, what about every negative word that's destroyed people's faith because of our divisive spirit and our divisive hearts? You know, that's why it's so, so critical to find out, how can I encourage one another in their faith journey? That's what the Bible talks about all the time. And then it says, you know, so what do you do if you have a divisive person? Well, Titus is pretty clear about that. It says, warn a divisive person once, warn them twice. After that, have nothing to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
So you set up a boundary and you say, I'm not going to go back there again because I've already warned them twice that they've been very divisive. Now, you would think at that point that person would be clicking into it and saying, wow, I gotta fix this because I can see. And you would also hope that we as believers would have the courage to step forward and say, I don't want to be a part of this conversation.
Mm.
This is not healthy. You need to deal with this much differently. Like you would think, but so many times people just buy into it. And before long, it becomes so big, you can't stop it. And then it destroys lives and a church, and then all the people on the sideline, that collateral damage mm-hmm. that happens because they're watching what goes on, it's totally destructive. It would be my, like we talked about yesterday in Jesus' prayer, I really felt like the last two points in that first section said he prayed that we would be one to win the world, and that we would be one to show God's love for the world. So God chose for us, our unity, to teach people that God loves them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you think about that. He chose our unity to show the people that God loves them. So he said, they'll know us, that we're Christians, by our love for one another. He says that in John 15. Then in John 17, he says, they'll know God's love by how we treat one another.
Mm-hmm.
So if those are two of the primary pieces of how God's going to communicate to a lost world, what would Satan fight the most?
Mm-hmm.
Our relationships with one another, our unity, how we love one another. That's what he's going to fight the most, because he can do the most damage by fighting that. And so that becomes the battle that's before us.
Hmm. You know, it's interesting that you phrase it that way. I'm always listening to a lot of conversations that are going on, not just here locally, I mean at large, between Christian leaders and in our culture. And there's not a lot of people that would identify that that's our number one battle to keep the unity, to keep love between believers and between families and between fathers within relationship as the hardest fight that we have.
Because here's what people are saying. They're looking from the outside, and when they see we love one another, they think, I want to be loved. Mm-hmm. I want to be in a place where people love each other. I'd like to be there. And that's what draws them, and then they come into a relationship with God. When we fight and have that division that is there, they say, I get that everywhere else. Why would I want that?
Mm-hmm. Right. So yeah, and you guys are supposed to be different. You know, they don't know much about us, but they know we're right. That's not right. What we're supposed to be.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the damage is done. Mm. So it's, and I like that Paul Bihamer calls it a sin of disunity.
Right, yeah.
It's really sinful and how we are not united, mm-hmm. even not only just within our local church, but within church to church.
Right.
With Christian to Christian. And that's why I said, go over your social media, look back over it, and see if you've been divisive to people and to other believers, because Christians are standing on the sideline. I see their comments. They say, that's why I don't go to church. That's why I don't want any part of that. Mm-hmm. And you'd think, okay, well, then you've just sinned. I hope you're aware of that. Mm-hmm. And you are going to be held responsible before God as a result of that. So, you know, pretty serious.
Do you have any idea when Paul shared that quote or when he stated that? Because as I'm thinking about it, it's, you know, that could have been said any time in the last 50 years.
It's not
and only gotten more true.
Oh, he's not a new writer.
Okay.
Because I've read some of his material and it's been older.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty significant statement.
And so much more true probably today.
How about it?
Than even 20 years ago.
Yeah, how about it?
Really incredible.
Yeah. Mm. And so the challenge goes, and that's why I really liked closing with, what do we do personally mm-hmm. to bring about unity? Because I really feel that if it's not us, then who? Mm-hmm. Like, we need to all be thinking, how do I create unity in the body of Christ? And what's my part that I play? Mm-hmm. What role do I have? And so that's why I listed those five things. You know, like, we start to find it yourself, you know? Start praying that God will open up unity in your own personal life, your relationships. Glorify God. Find your spiritual gift. Look for a place to serve and serve it joyfully without criticizing.
Yeah. If we can take just a couple quick minutes, I want to talk about that natural giftings or the natural skill sets. Because, I mean, you got a moment to talk about it briefly in the sermon, but didn't really get a chance to go deeper. Tell us more about that.
I really love what Mark Moore said, that he cited an Old Testament reference where the Spirit of God was given a gift to an artisan that he could be able to create something that would bring glory to God. Mm-hmm. And so I really love the idea, you know, one of the pieces that we talk about, how do we bring glory to God? It's by doing good deeds. Well, maybe your good deeds don't particularly fit into that, quote, spiritual gifting list.
Yeah.
But, you know, Romans 12 has a gift of serving as one of the spiritual gifts. Well, if you look at how do we serve, well, you might serve by fixing meals for people. You might serve by calling people and encouraging them. You might serve by mowing a lawn. Yeah. You might, you know, all kinds of ways that one could serve that could help impact. And so it doesn't necessarily have to be in that spiritual gifting list. It can be when you take any gift and give it to God. Mm-hmm. It can become spiritual.
Yeah, that's such a neat idea. I was talking to Pastor Mike about that, and he said he became aware of a church that bought a garage in their city, and they would, you know, have hours available where people could schedule appointments that needed and didn't have the funds to repair vehicles, and these mechanics would come in and they would do the work all for him. It was just kind of a neat thought of, wow, that's a natural gifting, but they were using it to glorify God.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So the challenge is before all of us, find your spiritual gift, understand how God wants you, and start serving joyfully.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Pastor Arley.
Glad to be here.
And thanks for hanging out with us on CWC Dive Deep. If you value the time you've spent here today, join our mission to invest in others by rating, reviewing, and sharing this podcast wherever you might be listening from. Join us next Monday as we continue the conversation in our series Transformed. And if you missed past episodes, check those out at cwc.life. Have a great week.